This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Off the ball breakfast.
But I thought you all liked Amram. You thought Amram looked good too.
He did. He also looked very well.
I never liked his hair. It's important to be hot.
He was doing too much, but he didn't do that.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
The Football Pod Club on Off the Ball in partnership with AIB.
Proud supporters of the AIB All-Ireland Club Championships for men's football, hurling, ladies football and camogie. Because we believe support is what gets you the life you're truly after.
Well, that was a pretty good weekend of Gaelic football. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, the National Football League's kicked off this weekend. And I think we all enjoyed it. Did we?
Some good stuff. Some good stuff out there. Are we talking about, just before we get into that, the real entertainment today, friends? We're recording on Sunday night.
Hold on. I think we save it.
We are back.
Are we back? Are we able to go there? Are we going to lose anyone else?
I don't think we're out of the title race. Stop.
You're like Rio.
Yeah. 15 games to go.
But come on.
It's all about Manu. At least he can actually get hold of it.
Yeah.
Ugarte was diabolical. I think we are, but I think Carrick is the man.
Playing. Like, how could you not play Mainu? It's insane. What the fuck was Amaran? Seriously. Like, this is, every day that goes by, his credibility just goes down even further down the drain.
I will give you two.
Come on. Division 4.
A minute.
He should be playing Division 4 today.
I'll give you two a minute at the end if you want to talk about Manchester United. Absolutely. Happily. Because it was a beautiful ending to the weekend. But there's just so much drama from the Gaelic football, lads. We had 15 games this weekend. Longford and Waterford was canned, so that game was postponed due to the weather down in Dungarvan. But we had three games that were draws out of the 15, and seven of the other 12 were decided by a score. Some of the most dramatic endings to games. There was big swings, there was comebacks, there was phenomenal two-pointers, there was buzzer beaters. It was just a really interesting, entertaining, controversial at times return of the football leagues. What caught your eye, James? Where would you like to touch on before we get in depth on that?
I'll be honest, with the national leagues, I wasn't overly like buzzing for the return because it just felt so early, and obviously we were swept away with the club scene, so I kind of crept up a little bit. But it's after catching fire from the start. I mean, I thought the last 2 days were just brilliant watching. So many games on, obviously with the YouTube and the Plus Ones and the GA Pluses. Like, you've so many games to watch. Like, but I couldn't even actually get up to the Kerry game because I came out of Dingle with a chest infection.
Okay.
So I was wrapped up.
What happened?
That's understandable. That is understandable. You stayed there for 3 days, did you?
I think I burned the candle at both ends. And in the middle, but
James, me and you stayed down, right? We don't know how, but somehow we lost Paddy that evening. He drove back home from Dingle on Tuesday night.
He made it.
Was devastating. I was crying driving in the most hazardous road conditions, driving off that peninsula, thinking of you two lads. and Paul and Little Gailey sitting in that pub on about, I'd say he drank about 6 points of Guinness in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I was still off, just coming off Dingle Main Street and you're on your fourth pint, they'd say. So I was devastated. It's always hard leaving Dingle, but geez, on Tuesday evening, I would have loved to have stayed.
Not to sew it into Paddy James, but describe that first pint immediately after the pot.
Oh, that first pint didn't even touch the sides. It was delicious. In fairness to Paul, he put on a nice few pints and an old bit of grub.
Yeah.
And because we were kind of buzzing after the pod, you know what I mean? Because we knew it was good. We knew that the boys were excellent, like, so we were on a bit of a high.
Do you remember, James?
It was great, wasn't it? Because it was such an epic run. Like, any club that wins the All-Ireland is, like, it's an amazing thing. But, like, Dingle's story is nearly amplified just because the size of the town, the journey that team went on. And Paul, to be fair, for a man who'd been enjoying a couple of days of celebrating, I thought he was brilliant. Some of the insights into it, just the team story, the Irish language, what it means down there and everything. It was very well received, I believe. Anyone I've been speaking to, not just the Kerry folk, thought it was it was brilliant insight. From Rook, yeah. what a fairy tale stuff from him at his age, still done what he's done there, captain that team. So,
yeah, great story, but they know how to tell it too, and they also know how to make the most of the celebrations as well. They know how to party and put on a party in Dingle as well. Did you see that all six All Ireland trophies that were won in Munster ended up in Dingle on Saturday evening? There was these glorious photos. You had the Ballymacallan boys, the Gaeltacht boys, the Dingle boys, the Ballygunner boys, the Kilbritton boys, and the Upper Church drum band team, all outside Ganey's Bar getting a photo and having the crack. So
some turnover for Ganey's Bar the last few weeks.
Well, do you know what? They made up for it. They shut the pub for about 8 hours for us on Tuesday to make sure we got the recording in. But
I'm making that back, I'd say.
It was cool. All went well. We had a good crack. James, I don't know, has any video surfaced from our time with DJ Flaboon in the back of McCarthy's?
You were on the place with the cup.
My back.
You'd want to park that up. No, you're not.
And he's just rebuilding bridges with the Kerry folk after his.
Yeah.
Paddy.
You're not last summer, but you're getting back there.
We need to get on with the analysis of this weekend, Tom.
So you don't want me to paint the picture of what happened before we went home, knowing why my back is crippled. I turn around at one stage. James O'Donoghue couldn't hold all three cups. He had two of them.
I did gestures, not have to. They were the hurling cups I had.
To get down, hops on my back. It was great.
I thought you were stronger, to be honest.
I absolutely was.
Collapsed like a baby foal.
We went 12 points beforehand.
Yeah,
Killarney today, better than I expected it would be. I can't believe it. You know, a brilliant game, and you sitting on the couch, sitting on your arse.
I know. Well, do you know what? I know that the listeners are giving out that we've been all about Kerry over the last couple of months anyway, or the last couple of weeks, because obviously of the club scene. So I didn't mind missing it because I wanted to watch Galway Mayo and actually get a good grasp of that.
Brilliant game.
And take the time to watch it. Like, so I actually thoroughly enjoyed that game. I thought it was a great game of football, proper football. End to end, kick passing on show by some really tasty players. I thought that Andy got Mayo's lineup right. I think they actually picked a strong team, everyone in their right positions. I like Kearney at wing forward. I thought Conroy in the corner was excellent. Byrne was a great debut in the other corner. Ryan Dunne, who had 11, actually opened up so much space for those runs across the field so they could kick pass more. It just looked right by Mayo this time. I don't know when the last time was they kicked 3-18. Like, I was actually looking back through their results. I don't think they've kicked 3-18 in a long time in a very competitive game. So they'll be delighted. Galway, on the other hand, played some good stuff as well, but just a little bit off. They looked a little bit more rusty than Mayo did. And I know they came back, they had the comeback, and they'll be delighted with that in a way. And even Joy said it after the game that he was happy with it. But it is easier to play when you're 10 points down. You know, like, you can throw the shackles off and start going for the goals and maybe take a few more risks. It's when the game's in the melting pot that you want to be, you know, doing the right things and making the right selections. So I was very impressed with Mayo. I think they're on the right road. I think Andy's going to do a great job with them. And that was probably the game of the weekend for me. Today's games anyway.
It was sensational.
The most pleasing thing is when you turn on the broadcast and, you know, it's in Salt Hill or anywhere on the West Coast in the third week of January, and you're thinking this could please, and particularly Pier Stadium, this is going to be a disaster weather-wise. And it was pretty benign. Sun was shining.
It was supposed to be lovely up there. It was supposed to be beautiful.
It wasn't a huge gale force wind, which definitely, I was like, okay, we might get something good here. And you hit the nail on the head, Jimmy. It was clear from, it's no surprise the way Mayo approached that game, their style of play. We knew what Andy was as a player, what he believes in as a coach. We've seen glimpses of it with his Leitrim team and then with Monaghan as well. And he's seen it today, absolutely just let players play in deep. Tommy Conroy and Ed O'Shea inside. Dara Byrne playing around maybe top of the D. And let's look inside. First, they're scanning out the in. The first option is, can I kick this ball 40 or 50 yards? We know Mayo, traditionally, they have a brilliant running game. Paddy Durkin came on, Sam Callanan and these guys. It's been a bedrock of Mayo's successful times over the last decade. But it's clear, to keep an Ed O'Shea inside, we want to kick the ball in. And they got the rewards out of it. I thought it was, and that led to a brilliant game. I don't think Galway were that bad there, lads. I know, particularly the third quarter, it looked like it was getting away from it, but they're missing a hell of a lot of players.
They're missing most of their All-Stars.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're a Pádraig Joyce there, the two McDonoughs in either corner, I thought were both lively. I thought Roger McDonough showed very well. Kieran Mulhern. Is it Kieran Mulhern?
Yeah.
He's a player.
A bit of the Matty Thompson about him, isn't there? Like that kind of playmaker. Hits a brilliant pass into Rob Finnerty, and Finnerty blasts it over the bar. But you could just see he's looking to be that playmaker at number 11. These are all brand new players for Galway. And we know that the camera kept up to the stand, and if Shane Walsh came on, look, it's going to be a while before he's back up to speed. But Comer, Matty Tierney, all these type of guys. So for Joyce, with pretty much a second string team, it wasn't their best stuff, but they created a lot of goal chances. I think they pissed off with that.
Seven,
and I know we spoke to him in the off-season. A couple of comments during last year's National League. He's not happy when his forwards are missing goal chances. Daniel Flaherty has two in the space of about 2 minutes in the second half. Mayo's goalkeeper gets man of the match, which tells a bit of the story.
Yeah, Henley, he played well.
I want to come back.
Incredible two-pointers. Some of his shot stopping was brilliant as well. So for Galway, look, I don't think any manager has got to be too pissed off on the first weekend of the National League, win or lose. It's about, there's definitely positives for Pádraig Joyce to take from that with some of those new players. That they're exciting. It looks like he spent years trying to get away from the Comer and Walsh thing and get these guys in. They could be a bit sharper in front of the post, but again, it's the third week of January. And it looked like third quarter, that could have been 10 or 12 points. So he'd be happy with that. But Andy Moore and that Mayo team, you're right. You kind of felt they're going to have a strong league. You feel like they have a good bit of work done, but their style of play, you could see. I think Mayo will be a good watch.
Yeah, definitely. I think two fellas come on for Galway as well, McGlinchey and Shane McGrath. They're two fellas to keep an eye on over the next couple of weeks. When we talk about, the new kids on the block this weekend, and we're going to pick out a couple of players from across the leagues and the divisions, what about Andy Moran getting the likes of Michael Plunkett back, who plays a six from Rob Henley in goals, James Carr comes off the bench? Like, I'm not saying that necessarily these lads, Killian O'Connor, Conor Loftus is back in the panel. Like, these are five with a serious amount of inter-county experience. They're coming back in. They may not start every game, but it's a huge injection of experience, of quality into that outfit as well. And I think it made a massive difference. Yeah, but like,
energy and feel good. Everyone in Mayo is interested in playing under Andy because of who he is. And Colin Boyle, the management team he's put around. The last couple of years, there's been a lot of disquiet around. That's the reality of it. There's been, whether it's the clubs, whether it's the supporters, the media, the coaches, the players. It seems like the one thing Andy's going to bring is that enthusiasm, that infectiousness. And it's not a surprise that maybe some players who had stepped away from the panel are coming back in. It feels like Mayo supporters are always excited at the start of a season, but it feels like there's a re-energised buzz around that team.
Yeah.
And also somebody established with, like Aidan O'Shea. Did Aidan O'Shea play the whole match again today? He's at his age with the miles on the clock, and he's mad for old in the middle of January. Yeah. Jordan Flynn, I thought, was very, very good today. clipping the scores again. We know he likes to pull the trigger, but it feels like there's just a little boost across the whole of that Mayo team.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Nobody's coming in with younger players. That comes from maybe, you know, Jimmy, coach comes in and goes, we're going to play this way, guys. We're going to play in the front foot here. That gives a... It does give a boost to the mood of the team. It's like, we're gonna play in the front foot here, guys. We're going to go after this.
That was it.
That seemed like what Mayo were at here today.
It was full frontal press. They were pushing up. Yeah, Galway are right in it. It's a real game of football that developed. A lot of kicking too. What else stood out to you, James, from that game? And
well,
that
it was, look, again, it's the first weekend, right? I don't think we should do a full tactical deep dive into anything that happened today because fellas' skills aren't on, you know, as sharp as they could be. Teams are only kind of feeling it out. But the kicking thing was something that I noticed from both sides. And I don't think that anyone has really cracked the kicking the ball inside yet with the new rules. Like, there's so much space in there. If you are willing to run, make enough runs, trust your hands, and just get a bit of a relationship with the fellow outside. And I think that Mayo's first instinct was to look in. And even if you are Tommy Conroy as a corner forward, Tommy Conroy does not want to be on the loop or does not want to be sending on the sideline, you know, doing a little cut and having long range shot. Tommy Conroy wants to get the ball from a kick pass. He'll nearly take it in the corner. And that's where he comes alive. Then he wants to take on his man from there. So that was the first. I thought they moved the ball nice and fast and actually played to each other's strengths. Having Ryan O'Donoghue centre forward was interesting. First half, I thought he did an awful lot of defensive work. He's captain this year. I think he's captain. Captain's
yeah.
role.
No,
won
Jack
a lot of Coyne. Breaks.
Jack
is
Coyne
he?
Is captain. Yeah.
Sorry.
He's in,
well,
he's in there, vice captain, maybe.
Yeah, he was like leadership
today,
role.
No?
Jack Coyne did the Jack Coyne did the start. He's vice captain.
But he still got up then for his scores and contributed on the scoreboard, which is hugely important. Because if your number 11 has to be marked by the number 6, it creates an awful lot of question marks for the defence. So I think that having him at 11 is going to be really interesting if he's still scoring. And then they did the right thing more often than not. Over the last couple of years, You'd actually be watching Mayo and you'd be thinking, this attack, anything could happen. They could throw an outside of the boot from the corner flag. Whereas this... In this game, and it might be just a subtle change that makes a big difference to them, nothing was rushed, nothing was too stupid. You know, they were still moving the ball fast, but no one was kind of doing anything off the cuff. It was more team kind of...
There's a bit more composure.
And more composure. Now, at the end, they brought on those lads you said, Boland and Carr, a couple of wild shots at the end, but I suppose the game was kind of petering out, but... I think that was one thing. They were a bit more clever, a bit more composed, and moved the ball faster, played to each other's strengths. If they can get their conversion rate up high, really high, they'll be really dangerous. And they still need a left-footed kicker. And the last thing I'll say on Mayo, Byrne at 13, I thought was really, really good.
Why do you like him, Jimmy?
Because he's knacky, jinky. He tries something different. He wants to take on his man. And I criticise Mayo... Was it last year, the year before, about quality? And I said, no one ever does a dummy. No one ever, you know, does something out of the ordinary. The first fella, first thing he does is throw an absolutely sumptuous dummy solo and throws it over the bar. And I was like, this fella has got something. And then he gets his goal as well in the second half. I thought he was just an extra threat. Yeah, lovely low finish, kind of a natural finish. Didn't try and do too much with it. Just looks like a natural forward, which Mayo were crying out for.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
Nail on the head there. That, he's... you look at James Carr as an example, really fast, strong, direct, scores these wonder goals, but he's erratic. That's today, not just today, but we've seen that. Because like Evan Regan in the past, Mayo have been struggling to find a guy who is clinical, composed on the ball, like that won't do anything crazy. They have Ryan O'Donoghue, brilliant player. Kenny O'Connor and Aidan O'Shea at the other end of their careers, but will do the right thing more often than not with the ball. Jordan Flynn can always chip in with a couple of scores from the half-forward line. We know they have the running game. But just that type of forward, like a Rob Finnerty. That type of... I'm not saying he's Rob Finnerty yet. We've seen him once today. But he has skills and composure, calmness on the ball. In the full forward line for Mayo. Tommy Conroy will get better You know, he's had lots of injury layoffs and stuff like that. I don't think he was brilliant today, but his energy, and he'll cause teams trouble, particularly as you go on through the air. The ground gets harder, space opens up. But someone like Byrne, they haven't really had someone like that in a long time, if ever, in recent memory. And just even on that today, you said it, just dummies, shifting the hips, calmness on the ball, clip a score, roll the ball into the corner of the net for his goal. I'm intrigued to watch him through the rest of the National League. And as you said it, Jimmy, it's first day. You know, let's not get carried away by anyone, writing anyone on or off. But there was things he was doing today and how he was moving and his possessions and what he was doing with them was, I was raising my eyebrows saying some of the stuff he was doing, and that's a positive. So let's see how that develops. The Dubs next week, so Jesus Christ,
that's the thing.
See that.
Dara Byrne, I think there's a lot of excitement in Mayo about him. Claire Morris' kid was on the 20s team of the year last year as well in corner forward. I think Mayo
was he's gone for the 20s, so obviously, is he? Is he?
I reckon so, yeah. There is a couple of fellas on the senior panel in Mayo that are still involved in the 20s, but I think Dara is a year out now. So, he's one of the younger lights that definitely caught the eye this weekend. Very briefly, and we're going to move on from here, but like, we mentioned it, we touched on it earlier, but Rob Henley scoring 3 2-point frees, one of them from like an outrageous distance.
That one was like, they thought it was closer, 60. And Ryan O'Donnell was calling them up, and then Conor Lane's linesman got involved, said, no, it's back another 15 there. And Henley was already up there, he said, fuck, I may as well have a go now. Like, I'd say if he was there originally, he wouldn't have come up. Like,
for sure. But Paddy, his saves, like, the saves are off the charts. And just to mention,
unbelievable saves.
At one stage later on, when Galway have the dander up, the momentum, Shane Walsh leaves Sam Callanan on his hole with a dummy, a step inside. Callanan somehow recovers to make an unbelievable tackle / block at the end as well. So that was a huge moment as well in that game. These two, I'm sure, will meet at some stage later in the year. Paddy, you touched on the Dubs. I was in Croke Park Saturday night. Conditions were horrendous. They lost by 3 points to a Donegal side that were probably more comfortable than a 3-point win. The Dubs definitely gave a better fist of it in the second half. But, you know, Donegal had a stronger outfit out there and looked a lot better. They looked a lot further along. And, you know, Conn started well.
But,
you know, Dublin's league, are they going to be, you know, if they lose the next weekend now to Mayo, not getting ahead of ourselves, but if they do, suddenly you're 0-2, does the pressure come on a little bit?
Yeah, but let's see how it pans out over the next couple of weeks. Kind of look at Dublin yesterday, Donegal were far better. You know, 3 points is probably generous in how it went. We're kind of looking, and this is the same, not just for Dublin, but any of the new managers coming into teams, could they really, the first game, what are we getting a sense of? Are they doing different from the previous regime? So look at defensively, are they doing that different, or what are they doing different in attack? And Dublin last year were probably the worst team for taking advantage of two-pointers and adapting and upgrading to the new rules. So I was saying, well, are they doing that different in the forward line? And it was pretty clear they're licensed to start pulling the trigger. Now, I know there was a big win there, and you know, you're shooting into canal end. But it was pretty clear that Jerry Brennan has said to these guys, right, let's not be as cautious in front of the post. You know, they have a free inside and Conn turns around and kicks it back out. You know, stuff like that happens when you've actually spoken about it off the pitch, you can tell. So that's an interesting thing to look at. I don't think they were great in attack. Very narrow. Just the structure and the spacing up front was, you know, look at, and you were there, Tommy, but just watching on the telly, even the high behind. So that was probably easier to defend against for Donegal. But then you look, like, Dean Rock is involved, one of the smartest, most intelligent forwards and all that type of stuff. So I've no doubt they will be aware of that. And it's the first night out, but that's something definitely to work on in attack. You feel they are going to be reliant on Conn. There's no getting away from that, you know. So it's imperative he stays injury free. So there's plenty to work on up front. Defensively, I actually thought they were not bad in the first quarter. They were really aggressive, man-to-man, really well organised. You can see the communication. Donegal are a team who are very difficult to play against because, from a defensive standpoint, because they'll keep the ball in that basketball loop. They'll keep it and they'll keep it and they'll keep it. And it'll be Ryan McHugh and it'll be Kieran Thompson or Michael Langan and these guys, and they'll wait for someone to switch off. And Dublin for the first quarter were really, really good at defending that. Lots of new faces. So that was a positive again. You can clearly tell that's something they've worked on. But as the game went on, that second quarter, guys got tired. Conditioning seemed like they were a little bit further ahead. And some of the newer Dublin players, you know, getting their first run out, you know, it's hard to play at that intensity. That's the challenge Donegal bring. And 15, 20 minutes is fine, but the next 40 could be torture. And I thought you could see, I thought the goal was a perfect example. Jay Malone's goal. If you look at that, Dublin get turned over, Lorcan O'Dell gets turned over by Pat O'Mogan. Short kick out. Dublin are trying to press up, which is the right thing to do against Donegal and be man to man. But if you're tired and you dive in, Niall Scully dives in, and even though it's on, fuck it, say 25 yards from Donegal's goal, he dives in, and now Donegal have an overlap. And straight away, against Donegal, the way they play, if you let them create an overlap, you're in trouble. Who was the wing back, Tommy, for Dublin? Robert Shaw, is it?
Yeah, making his debut, wasn't he?
Making his debut. So he pushes up and he's caught in two minds. It's an overlap, even though it's like Anthony Gall's 45 and Caelan McGonagall just drifts in behind him and he can't get back. He just realises it's too late. And that's inexperience. That's not used to playing against Donegal where they come at you in droves. And if you don't tag runners, that's what will happen.
Yeah,
and literally, it's going to be. And it's a goal chance, and it's just.
He took it brilliantly, Malone. And then, like, he took that so well. I think he was probably a little bit outside of the game, outside of that. But, like, in the second half, James, when Dublin get a bit of a run on them, Michael Langan steps in with a 2-pointer. I think he gets 2. Darrell Boyle gets 1. You could just see, as Paddy's saying there, the levels that maybe Donegal were at, they were able to just keep Dublin at arm's length. What did you see in that game, James, just briefly?
I think that Donegal were 10 to 15 points better than Dublin on the day. Dublin looked like a new team. And Donegal, the only reason Donegal didn't actually punish Dublin was because I'd say they haven't even kicked a ball at the post yet in training. That's what it looked like. They missed an awful lot of they missed an awful lot of wides that would have really put the dagger in. You know, when it completely deflates a team, you know, when 3 or 4 points goes in against you on the bounce, they had chances to do that and just didn't. And Dublin actually got it back to 2 in the second half, but then Langan steps up with that 2-pointer to kind of push the gap.
But, they were so dominant in the midfield, Jimmy, weren't they? And Donegal, Jason McGee, Hugh McFadden, Michael Langan, these are big, big guys.
Massive fellas.
Dublin, from a Dublin perspective, Evan Comerford's kickouts were not on the money, which, okay, that can happen. But Dublin's midfield is Tom Lahiff and Ethan Dunn making his debut. Tough day at the office for those guys. So
very tough day,
When you're newer players, Dublin's whole half back line, brand new, debutants, midfield, inexperienced, and you're coming up against the team. You said, Tommy, Donegal look like they've a bit more done. I know both these teams have actually done a good bit of training. But Donegal as a team are just further down the road. It is a new Dublin team. But that middle third, Donegal were so dominant. Loads of possession. And that's when you're chasing against a team like Donegal, it takes it out of you quickly. And a lot of those new Dublin players, that's the lesson. I think you're going to see that. I think you could see it in Castlebar this weekend. Kerry come to Croke Park on the 21st of February.
Yeah.
It's Kerry a tough place to learn Division 1, but...
Kerry Donegal this weekend is all to be fun. It was brought up in the post-match press conference to Jim McGuinness. I asked them if they've got a win in Croke Park. They've got Kerry next weekend. Can they park last year's All-Ireland final defeat after that? And he gave a curt enough answer to it. And then it was brought back up a little later by Cathal O'Kane of the Irish News about, you know, the zonal defence and some of the coverage of last year's All-Ireland final defeat. And you could tell that. Yeah. Well, but like it was interesting. Like Donegal obviously did so much right last year. I think they won 10 games on the way. They lost their 11th. Did they mix it up any? Did it change? Are we going to see any of that at this time of the year? If he is going to change Anton, if they are going to change Anton, are we going to see it at all until next June, July?
It was hard. I think it was hard to tell. It's hard to tell on television.
Yeah, it is.
Like the individual matchups and things.
They definitely went man to man.
They were going man to man. No, Dublin kicked 20 points, and Dublin weren't at it either. But it's very hard to tell. But like he didn't take that question very well. I think the whole country knew that they made an error last year in the final by not marking some of the best forwards in the country. Come on, it's obvious. I don't think we should even read into that. He's obviously being a bit defensive. But on the game against Dublin, I think Shane Malone's goal, right? If you notice that when he takes that ball, it's actually a good finish because a lot of players would have tried to grasp that ball and then decide what they're doing. But he doesn't even catch it. He just kind of palms it down to himself.
Quick kick, yeah. Very quick.
Again, that natural instinct of a forward, of a finisher, I think that was key, obviously, for the goal at that time. And Mulroney,
yes.
He has the worst start to the game you could ever have. He kicks the ball. He does a bad kick out. Then he gives away a 45, and then he comes up for free and misses it, right? And after that, he was absolutely outstanding. He came up and slapped over a couple of two-pointers, and I just thought that was brilliant from him to be able to park three mistakes on the trot and come back and deliver from then on. Yeah. I thought that was excellent because first league game, you're under a bit of pressure, you know, make a couple of mistakes, but he stepped up and they're brilliant after that.
Important
there was still a couple
that.
Of great things.
Important to be able to I'm going to move on, lads, because there's a lot more to get.
One thing on Donegal, Tommy, as well, like Rorty and Kieran Moore. I was looking at Rorty.
Beefed up. Kidding. The two of them have beefed up
it's
again.
It's just like, I'm looking at it from with Dublin hat on going, like, here's two kids that have come through.
Yeah.
Those two players are going to be, they're already at the highest level. They are going to be iconic players for Donegal. And they're just going like, two young lads at that age have that quality. And when's the last player that's come through for Dublin? To be anywhere near that level. Like,
you had a good one there for a while.
I know,
Rorty and Moore, like when you talk DNA, like we were looking at the Dingle DNA, I suppose, last week, but they have quintessential Donegal DNA. They're proper footballers from Donegal. But they're just
quality.
Do you know who has a big, big year in him this year? And he needs to have a big year for Donegal to win it is Conor O'Donnell. And Paddy, you said it at the start of our analysis in this game, Donegal love a slow attack.
Yeah.
But Conor O'Donnell can turn a slow attack into a point in the flash, in a blink of an eye. If they just give him more of the ball, just give it to him and he'll get a shot off. I think a lot of the other fellas, they kind of recycle.
Why this fella has that lethal. He's the key man in that second quarter. Why is he getting it last night? And why might that be a challenge for him in the summertime?
Go on.
Michael Murphy and Oisin Gallen. They're the guys who get on the end of it. If Donegal are having those attacks and the third person, even above Conor O'Donnell, and I agree with you, he's got that pace. He's a different player to Murphy, obviously. Similar to Gallen, maybe, perhaps. Probably even more dynamic than Gallen, but they've Kieran Thompson as well, that Donegal will keep these balls and it's Ryan McHugh at the top of the D and if they're held up, they'll pop it to Thompson for a two-pointer. Otherwise, Murphy's getting it. And if Murphy's not getting it, Gallen's getting it. And Conor O'Donnell is the third man in line. Like last night, he was getting the possessions because he was pumped up the queue because those other three guys are missing. But he has to pump himself up the line.
He has to get up the line because that's when the real responsibility. I think he has it. Yeah, he really has it. He can get a shot off in a phone box. He's able to kind of just manipulate his feet and get away from a man and pull the trigger. And I think if Donegal actually did a couple of faster attacks, they're so dominant in midfield that they're going to get the ball back again anyway. They don't need to take that long to get a shot off when they have fellas like Conor O'Donnell.
So James, they
played brilliantly yesterday.
Would you prescribe to the notion that Donegal would be better served adding a bit more to their attack rather than worrying about their defence that served them so well for much of last year, but obviously malfunctioned.
I think they're very good attack, Tommy. I think their percentages are high. They're clinical. They're close.
Yeah. It's hard to criticise probably the second best team in the country.
Yeah,
I don't think they played very well in the final last year. They did not play well defensively. I don't care what Jim McGuinness says in an interview. Paddy Clifford was not marked.
McGuinness has to say that. He's not going to say it. McGuinness can't all of a sudden in front of the national press and turn around and go start showing doubt in his methods. This is a guy who is so
and it works for them.
He demands the most intense commitment to everything he says and everything he does, and they've had incredible success doing that.
Yeah.
Those players, I've said it before loads of times, looking back on our successes of our team, you have to be like a cult. Everyone has to buy in. 1,000,000%. There can't be doubt. There can't be, do you know what, lads? You're right in the media. I fucked that final up. McGuinness cannot afford to do that.
For sure.
Maybe he doesn't believe in himself, but he's definitely ain't going to come out and say it. He needs to show what I say is gospel. Listen to me, lads. All fit, because the demands he puts on his players, we've heard about their training sessions, the sacrifices they have to make. And maybe that's the way it is if you want to win the All-Ireland. You have to do those things. But McGuinness isn't going to turn around and start talking to the national media and go, do you know what? You were all right. I actually had a bit of a hell of there.
But hey, I stand by that question.
It was a totally valid question, Tommy. I get it. Because it's the fucking truth. The final was a bit of a disaster. You can't get away from that. But Jim McGuinness is not going to come out and say that. He's going to say, we're back-to-back Ulster champions. They were incredible for most of the season last year, but the final didn't go well. But he's going to show total and utter faith
and it works.
Supporters, and more importantly, to his players.
And if you want to see how it works and where it works, all you got to do is look at the Facebook video on Off the Ball of this clip. And it's like the Donegal Mafia are unleashed. There's like 250 comments saying, go on, Jim. Fair play, Jim. They're all on board. The behind it.
Totally, yes. His side of things.
It's a big thing. It works. Okay. And I'm sure they're doing it.
And they're going to be right in the mix for the All-Ireland.
Absolutely. For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Really, really briefly. Monaghan get a right clipping from Armagh today in Clonus. 127 to 18 points. Listening to Gabriel Bannigan afterwards. Armagh had a strongish team, but a couple of debutants as well. Monaghan were missing quite a few. 7 of Armagh's scores in the first half came from Monaghan shots dropped short of attack or attacks that broke down. So that was a big one there. And James, I know we're not going to linger much on Kerry Roscommon, but I think the Rossies deserve a mention because they're missing their Bridges contingent. They've got a new boss in Mark Dowd. I know Kerry are probably back a little later, but like 10 minutes to go, Kerry had been up twice by 6 or 7 points, but the Rossies going a run. Darragh Craig was absolutely sublime. Mm-hmm. When you see his scores
very
later
good.
On,
very just good.
Phenomenal. And Dermot Murthy gets a fine goal as well. They're up late on, but we just have to talk about a fella that Jack O'Connor wasn't afraid to talk about, TK, Tomás Kennedy. I've got a message here from
hands. Jesus from Christ.
The hands. Like but for the goal ball, and for the point at the end, the buzzer beater at the end.
The point at the end. That ball is nearly uncatchable because it's coming down with snow on it. And obviously the defender is just going up to punch or to break or whatever, to actually pluck it and then come down and get the hands off. I mean, just in before the buzzer. Phenomenal Jimmy score. And that would be so good for his confidence. Like the fact you've delivered on the first start there in the league to get that winning point with a great bit of skill. And a great bit of, like, they really rate that in Kerry, the high fielding. That's a big, if you have that in your locker, you're a true footballer, like, if you're good in the air. And the fact he plucked it like that to put it over, just unbelievable for him. What a start.
Class. And, like, Les, can I just mention.
How good is he, lads? Because Jack O'Connor was bigging him up, which is very rare for a manager to big up any young player, particularly like Jack O'Connor, the experience he has. It's easy to say, sure, look, we've loads of new lads coming in. But that straight away perked my interest going. This fella must have something about him.
He's still under 20. He's underage this year. Yeah. That's what I was asking. Is Byrne.
He was on the team of the year with Byrne last year, yeah.
Yeah, and like he's still very young. But if you're going to be learning from fellas, why not learn from Kieran Donaghy inside? Why not learn off Clifford, Paul Gainey? Like, this fella has people there who can bring him on an extra level of what he might have been. So he has all the potential in the world.
All Irish Sport have the Spider-Man meme up with David Clifford and just the celebration there. But I was listening to Radio 1 to the round the goal, and the commentator actually mistakes Kennedy with Clifford. And I'd read it on Twitter. Kennedy scored the goal, but then he describes it that David Clifford fielded it from the skies and put it in. But he must have just thought that the body movement, the way he took it, the way he finished it from a ridiculous angle, that this guy was Clifford. But actually, James, he's better
in the air. His the real thing comparison, is aerial.
The real comparison, and this comment came in from Marty O'Leary, a good Clare footballer. Tommy Welch is who he reminds him of. A club mate of his as well in Cairns O'Rahilly, right? There's a bit of that?
Maybe. I don't know who I could compare this fella to, because he moves so well. He's very agile, very fast, good kicker, very good in the air.
Tommy Walsh,
very young.
Jimmy, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Tommy Walsh was unbelievable power.
Tommy was ball winner, but fast and strong. But I don't know, this fella's just a bit more agile or mobile or something, a bit, you know, lighter. But then again, he's so young.
He could go for his goal. Like.
Yeah. He could go any direction as a player. He could, you know, he's everything but kind of doesn't know what his thing is yet. He'll find his niche in that team and he'll grow like that. So it's hard to know what he's like, but there has been a lot of excitement about him recently coming from all directions. So what a start for him to get that point. It was unreal.
Rightly so.
We said about Darragh Byrne for Mayo, like, even though it's the first time we're seeing him nearly national stage at senior level, you're seeing that goal, the way he catches it and spins, like, that's, like, big men don't traditionally be, aren't really that able to do that. And then just the mentality, like, that's a scrum at the end of the match. Like,
yeah. You've got
15 bodies there. Like, Cliffy is there, like, and this kid is coming going, I'll fucking catch that. Like, get out of my way. Like, this guy, he's got it. Great chance. He's got
he does.
He certainly does. That was just worth mentioning. But as we mentioned, the Rossies, good signs. Jack Duggan come off the bench as well, who's moved from Longford in recent years. His dad, Derek Duggan, was a Roscommon legend. And Jack, good to see Jack kicking a couple of points as well. An interesting one there. So we'll keep an eye on the Rossies over the next couple of weeks. Roscommon are playing Monaghan next weekend. That's a big one.
Big game.
Mayo are playing Dublin on Sunday. I'll be covering that one for Off the Ball. We've got Donegal and Kerry, a repeat of last year's All-Ireland final. I wonder, will Jim McGuinness be asked about the All-Ireland final after that one? I think after that, it might be parked and it might be left. And then we've got Armagh.
Go on.
I think we should keep bringing it up every week. What about that final?
What happened there?
Our man Galway on Saturday night. Lads, I'm going to take a really quick break. The pod is, of course, brought to you by AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Club Championships in Gaelic football, hurling, ladies football and camogie. Support for the life you're after. We'll be back right after this. We're going to go around the grounds and bring you some of the questions that you have sent in for Paddy and James.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay, no insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
OTB GAA.
You're very welcome back to the football pod of Paddy Anders and James Donoghue. We're picking through a brilliant weekend. We went a little long there on our Division 1 stuff, but there was just so many talking points to pick out of, especially from the Galway Mayo game and the Dublin Donegal game. Let's just look briefly at the results in Division 3 and Division 4. I just want to pick out a few bits. Wicklow 117, Leitrim 213. 114 of Wicklow's 117 came from frees. Mark Jackson with 4 2-point frees in the 45, and Owen Darcy with 1-5. Jackson nailing a monster two-pointer at the end to win it. Tough on Leitrim, who have blooded a lot of new bodies again under Stephen Poacher. So it'd be interesting to see how they got on this year under Poacher. So that was a one-point defeat in Wicklow. Wicklow obviously heavily touted for promotion by Paddy Anders last week on the pod.
Look, winning start, told you.
London,
very clinical from dead balls.
Interesting to see London and Tipperary drawing on the first night of the leagues as well. So London have been moving well across January and blooding a lot of players in the FBD league. So good to see that one. And then Antrim beaten by Carlow. Carlow under Joe Murphy. They've had another couple of months under Joe Murphy, who took over last year in the middle of the season from Shane Curran. A big result there for Carlow in the race for promotion. I think I'd actually given Carlow a shout as outsiders on the pod last week. Chris Blake at 1-4 and a clatter of others adding to that one there. Division 3 is going to be interesting this year, lads. Westmead were very lucky late on. They were in control at one stage, but they beat Sligo with two late scores in injury time, 2-14 to 1-16. So a good win off the back of their
Auburn Cup win last weekend. Wexford got the better of Fermanagh, so the promoter Wexford win, and that one 113 to 12 points. Leash and Leitrim, a draw, 110 to 13 points. And on Saturday night, speaking to a couple of the Clare contingent who had made the trip up to Park Esther and back to Clare that night, a good game, downward probably, you know, value for their win, 219 to 214, but it was a really competitive game of football. Down only pulling away late on. Oran Murdoch scoring a worldie of a goal, and a brilliant two-pointer from Daniel Guinness to kind of push them ahead when Paul Madden's Clare had nicked back in front. So it's going to be well worth keeping an eye on Division 3. This weekend, we've got Limerick and Down, got Wexford up against Laois. Clare Westmeath on Sunday will be a cracker, as will Sligo against Fermanagh. And in Division 4 this weekend, Carlow Wicklow, Leitrim up against Waterford, who haven't played yet. As we mentioned, that Waterford-Longford game is postponed. Longford against London, and Tipperary against Antrim. Okay, I want to move to Division 2. This afternoon, Cork were 7 points down in Páirc Uí to Cavan. Cavan, who nobody have given a chance to, that everyone have put at the bottom of Division 2. They didn't start Paddy Lynch. He comes on in the second half. Gerald McKiernan, I think, scores 4 or 5 points. They have a clatter of young lads making a big impact. Darren McVitie with just the driving heart of the side as well. But who comes on? Stephen Sherlock with 15 minutes to go. Kicks 2 two-pointers, including one at the death. And Cork just about get away with it. Oh, this could be a massive result in the end of things, lads. Massive, massive turnaround there for Cork later on. They're blessed. They've been slow starters for years, and they're just blessed.
I think they needed a good start this year because
momentum.
Yeah, they've just had a stuttering start a couple of years, and they've got going eventually. But you need a couple of points on the board early. Mm. But with Sherlock looked so sharp in the club Munster Championship. And you're thinking, how is this fella not playing a pivotal part for Cork? I know he stepped away last year, but yeah, they have to get him on the field. Whatever little tactical change they need to make to get him on the field when the game's in the melting pot, they need to do it because ability he has in his right leg. There's not many fellas in the country with the same kicking ability. And you can't leave that at home.
No. You just think for that, how important that is. Like, Cork have aspirations to get promoted. You know, whenever about us or outside the camp, him and all, their goal is to get back into Division 1. And you look at fixtures coming down the tracks, likes of Tyrone, Derry, Meath got off a very good start. If Cork don't win our home game against Cavan the first night out,
yeah,
you're right, the whole season, that's a major goal for their season to get promoted. And a defeat today without that kick, that just puts them on the back foot straight away and just creates... Of all the teams that need momentum, Cork need it. So that is a massive, massive win for them.
Huge.
Because it's a tougher test coming out of the tracks, with all respect.
Especially, they're on the road to Loud this weekend. Loud, another side that got a win. Loud are actually sitting pretty at the top of the table. A 5-point win against Offaly. They didn't have it all their own way. Offaly were right in the mix of that game, and Loud kind of had a late burst to pull away. And then, I think Offaly... early on in that game too, were playing very well. They were up by a point at halftime, 12 points to 11, but Loud kind of ground them down. Gavin Devlin had 7 of their 20 stars on the bench. I think only one of them got used, but he's obviously blooding a couple of bodies in there. And I think Loud need to add that little bit of depth if they're going to push on from winning that Leinster title last year and maybe go back-to-back or try and push on to an All-Ireland quarterfinal or a semi-final like Meath. Speaking of Meath, very good win on Saturday. 19 points to 113 against Derry. Derry were actually pretty good, lads. But I think when the game got into the melting pot, they were missing maybe something around the middle third. And the fact that they haven't won a game in so bloody long hung over
them. You said it, T. It was the same story, wasn't it? I've seen Kieran Maida speaking afterwards, like, Derry played well again. Lots of good moments in the game. And it is, the longer it goes on, it does start to become a bit of a thing. You know, we say all their All-Ireland group games last year, they were in the mix, but just falling short. And he thought last night again, they put themselves in a position. Meath were quite good, but Derry, McGuigan gets a couple of two-pointers. You just feel, okay, right, you're right. The Derry of 4 or 5 seasons ago would have got that job done. Whereas this team is struggling just to get their noses over the line.
Are they fundamentally missing something, James?
Well, look, they were playing in Croke Park, right? They kicked 113.
In Bagnall.
Okay, but 113 is on the lower side of a return any day with the new rules. I think they're still operating almost in the old rules. When I look at them in attack, just to be critical on the first weekend, it's probably unfair, but there's nothing surprising about them. And this is a team where all their players were our favourite players a year or two ago. You know, the talent they have isn't to be questioned. You know, we're coming from midfield, even from centre-back and McInnes, Sterful forward line. But there's nothing different. It's really samey. It's really slow. It's hand-passing. It's carrying the ball across the field yourself on a solo run. And I'm like, this must be really easy to defend against. They're never really looking in for that little pop pass or run off the shoulder. So I think their attack is stale, really, really stale. And I think once they get that going, once they play with a bit more freedom, a little bit more off the cuff, I think that could spark.
Are they going to? Are they going to?
Well, they're
they're at their best back-to-back Ulster champions. This was the challenge shown at them, that they're too predictable up front.
We've had how many
managers since then? And we're still saying the same thing.
They were at their best, obviously, a couple of years ago. Then they win the National League under Mickey Hart.
Yeah, true, yeah.
But I think that was the old rules.
Penalty shootout was around them. They lost that penalty shootout.
They had maxed out those old rules. They had mastered it.
They'd completed
the game. Have not transitioned to a bit more free-flowing, expressive football. That's how I feel about them. And they have the ability. I think it's a mindset.
That's interesting. That's really interesting.
If we just go back last week, you were who said Derry will be under pressure here? Come on.
You did.
Tommy, get it out there. Who said that? Thank you.
Come on, Paddy.
Like Derry have probably been over the winter, you know, hammering themselves mentally, going, you know, we didn't do ourselves justice last year.
Yeah.
I think it's nearly the wrong thing. They need to nearly go for enjoyment and fun and praise each other and just lift that baggage that's weighing them down, that clearly is, and just go and play, you know.
I know what you're looking for. You're looking for Hakuna Matata football.
Okay. He's been listening to the Disney playlist with Sophia.
A little bit more now.
Derry still have some brilliant players.
Outstanding players.
Lads, it was not looking good for Meath 20-odd minutes into that game. They were 1-5 to 3 points down.
Hey?
Yeah.
Meath hit them
for
11
points. Meath do have that then, Tom. Meath go for the two-pointers and
they get the dagger up.
Play with gusto and just do something different. And obviously, they have the pace and the energy and they're running off shoulders and their cuts. They have just confidence, a lot more going on. More going wrong, but yes, a lot more going on.
And I feel that too. They're
better to watch. They're great to watch.
I don't fully trust what I'm watching, though, sometimes.
They're brilliant watch. God.
Hey, but that is a brilliant, like, you feel like that's nearly a head-to-head. Like, Tyrone only draw, but Kildare and I'll be
again. Tyrone are playing Derry
this
weekend.
That's a big result for Meath last night. That's their home game. They're playing in Croker, and they've got that win under their belts against an absolute promotion rival. So, I mean, they're a good watch. Meath do, I'm saying it, like, because there is that bit of fucking anything can happen here. They're not that structured. They're a little bit chaotic, but it's
hard to defend against that, though, Betty.
Exactly. Of course, you don't know what's going to happen.
They've
got guys who pull the trigger. Jack Flynn back from injury. He's the latest one to come in, and there's a buzz around him. We said it all through last year. There's a buzz around Meath again, and it's been so long since. So what an exciting time for you, Tommy, and for all the Royals.
Well, let's not get too much ahead of ourselves, because you have to go back to the mid-60s for the last time that Meath bet Cavan in a competitive encounter in Cavan, and they're in Cavan next weekend. They drew there 2 years ago. They missed a late, late chance to win that game and put that stat to bed. Just to mention, like Jack Flynn, right? I'm not sure if you saw his point in the second half that, like, exits Croke Park, gets a little bit of snow on it, and drops over the bar. It's one of the highest points I've ever seen kicked in Croke Park. Clifford did a couple of years ago.
He was the cup final, remember?
Yeah,
as well,
he did. Yeah, monster scores. But his freeze off the deck against the wind.
Step it over, like.
They're so low. The trajectory of them, they were so low. So I thought that was quite impressive.
Little stingers. Shane Lowry stingers.
Jordy Morris has pulled his
kind of electric form from last year back into it. He scores this ridiculous two-pointer against the wind in the second half, but he's trying to make things happen.
Yeah.
Two or three times he could have taken easy points and he tries to create a goal and it doesn't work out, but you like to see that. And I just thought, I mentioned as well, he's not a new kid on the block, but Cian McBride, you know, a lot of counties have lost players to the AFL and they come back and they made an impact. Cian McBride came back and wasn't able to break into Mead, wasn't able to make an impact. He's actually transferred up to his, I think it's his father's club or maybe his mom's club up in Donegal. So he's been playing his club football in Donegal, left the junior club in Mead last year. He's now in Donegal playing his club football. There's a bit more aggression coming out of him, a bit more fire. Big man again around midfield, and he makes a massive impact and goes straight on Connor Glass when he comes in and kind of nullifies Glass in the last 15, 20 minutes. So just, that was an interesting one yesterday. Kildare Tyrone, Paddy, Brian Flanagan's side are a couple of points down. They're a man down. One of their charges were sent off. We know we're bringing through a lot of young fellas. And Tyrone just don't put them away. Ethan Jordan kicks 1-9, gets man of the match. And
McLaughlin, like a fine, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does look a fine. But McLaughlin, Brian McLaughlin, number 10 on his back, kicks 9 points across the game. But his score's late on. He actually looks out in his feet a little bit. He wins a late free. He kicks 5 points in the melting pot. Some gorgeous scores and 2-pointers as well. Nice to see Kildare throw the shackles off a little bit too and go for it.
There it is. And it's like, I see them nearly on a similar trajectory to Meath. They're like a year behind having won the Tailteann Cup. But it's the type of game where if there's not a good buzz around, there's not buy-in from across the board, you know, you don't get anything out of that game. Going to Alma, tough conditions, not fancied anyway. Couple of new guys getting a game. Like if a team is not all pulling in the same direction, maybe the young lads are maybe left a bit out on their own, been hung out to dry. Things start going against you. You get a lad sent off, the thing can crumble pretty quickly. Whereas you can see from Kildare, that's what was surprising, the way they didn't close the deal in their Burn Cup final the week before against Westmeath. But I don't have them for promotion. None of us do in Division 2. But I'd say within the camp, they're probably backing themselves to get some. I think they're
it's
probably
very tough division. Yeah,
just the way. But that's the hardest game they've got out of the way. Tyrone and Alma, for anyone else in Division 2, was the hardest game. And Kildare could have got something. Easily could have got the full result out of it. So, it, without a doubt, except we were talking about Division 1 earlier, we're not writing anyone off or saying anyone's brilliant or anyone's shy at this stage of the year. But I think there's a lot of positives for Brian Flanagan and that Kildare team and some of those young guys. And the same for Malik O'Rourke and Tyrone. Look, we've seen some of their players coming in. Derek Hannifin, McElhone coming in off the bench as well. Yeah. Ethan Jordan's the latest guy that comes in and he can kick scores as well. They'll only get stronger, but I wouldn't have Kildare to get anything out of that game, and to go up there and get a result is sets them up nicely. Keep an eye on them for Division 2.
No, that's definitely a couple of teams in the mix there. So this weekend, Derry v Tyrone, Kildare v Offaly, Cavan v Meath, Louth v Cork. Up on our Instagram, lads, I asked the question, put up a photo of a couple of the younger stars that have caught the eye. Dara Byrne, Kennedy, Shane Malone, Ethan Jordan, who's not necessarily young, but has had a big club campaign the last couple of years, and Fionn McDonough. They had all stood out those. And a couple of the comments in, Ronan Cassidy, 20 years old from Tyrone, had a great game. Owen Cully for Kildare caught the eye in corner forward as well. Kieran Mulhern, as we mentioned earlier on, from Galway at 11.
Was
exciting to watch Silky this weekend. Brian McLaughlin from Kildare. Luke Branock comes off the bench. We saw him last year. Comes off the bench and gives a bit of bite to Dublin as well.
He's a good player.
He is a baller.
What age
20,
is
21 or 2 maybe?
20. Will he not be older? I feel like I watched him in an under-21 championship game against Meath in Parnell Park maybe 4 years ago.
Okay.
Dublin beat them. You might have been
been around the goal.
You could have seen a few injuries last year. He
under-20s and 23. Under-20s and 23. So he's probably 22 or 3. Good age to be. And remember, he kicked the late two-pointer against Kerry last year in the league. Fergal O'Brien from Armagh. Dara Byrne from Mayo. Excellent. Is from Deck. And then Finn Dugan with a shout for Shane Malone. Just briefly, lads, a couple of the quick questions that are in. Andy Mernon keeps getting better with age. Great to see him today with Armagh. What a player from Jamie McGann. Mick, a lot of questions from his common fans. They just aren't happy with what went on down in Kerry. They feel like there was a couple of harsh frees given against them. Jack O'Connor wasn't happy with Mike Breen getting stung for a 50-metre free, by the way. We might come back to that.
Rosses are saying that the hooter had gone before he fished the ball over the bar, so it should have been.
No, I think they were saying that the hooter was out of... was gone on, was late. Wasn't it? The hooter
in
was late.
In the stadium, see, the stadium clock and the TV clock didn't sync. Yeah. So there's, why only thought there's 2 seconds left? Yes, it's not. We got to figure this out.
So the Rossi say when Sean O'Shea kicks the free and it's in the air, that's it. Is that the
yeah, right? But that's
I think even before that.
That yeah. is, yeah, but that, yeah.
They're saying it should be over before he even takes the free.
The hooter went on too long.
Yeah, I'm isn't not sure.
It? What's the problem?
The rule is,
what did the manager
watching
say?
The back, Mark Dowd wasn't really complaining about the hooter. He said it was up to the referee. And Jack O'Connor didn't really get into the hooter. He got more into the 50-meter free advancement that he absolutely despised.
Social media, on Facebook. The Rossi fans on Facebook are getting into them.
Yeah. The hooter one is just a confusing one, I think, because we changed the rule from last year. I kind of liked the way it was last year. And now it's changed that you got, if the ball is in flight when the hooter goes, we let that go out. But, you know, as Tomás Kennedy catches that ball, the hooter hasn't gone. As he releases his fist pass over the bar, the hooter hasn't gone.
It's the same, it same as basketball.
In the air. Yeah, so it worked and it was a buzzer beater and got away with it. But it was certainly close. And I think the fact that the clock.
But they got to sink. They got to sink all the clocks.
They got to sink it. They got
to
sink it.
Because it's even a nightmare to watch it on TV. If this hooter goes out of the blue and it's on 69 minutes and 10 seconds on the telly or whatever.
And it's in Irish. So you're like, what?
It's ultra confusion.
It's like, come on, man, what?
Kevin says, Tommy, grow a pair of leader OG and start calling out blatant bias by refs when Kerry teams are playing. Scandalous decision not to give Roscommon a free for a tackle around the neck.
He's having a go to you.
Joke this? This is a chap named Kevin who's actually from Quilty and Clare, and he's a Liverpool fan, so maybe that's why he's a bit salty this evening. But like, come on. You know, Brendan Cawley is one of the top referees in the game. A one-moment incident or a free that possibly didn't go against you. I don't know. Come on. We're not going to go into that.
We only have a go at umpires on this. We don't have a go at refs.
Yeah,
couple of umpires not on their best day this weekend that we won't go into. We'll wait until it kind of gets a bit more serious.
Keep that in the back pocket, Jimmy. Keep that in the back pocket.
Damien Walsh says the new rules were brilliant from a Mayo fan. Podge, I love the usual pod, but please, boys, just spend an hour talking about United and Carrick.
There you go. Tried to start it off with that, buddy, but you're up, Tommy.
We need to give the people what they want.
Yeah,
no, they could. If United didn't have such a bad spell against Burnley, Leeds, fucking Everton.
Wolves. Right? West Ham.
No, to be fair, though, Amorim would still be in charge if that didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of double-edged sword. But if they did get even 6 points out of that, like, be looking right up the table. Be looking catching Villa.
Lads, listen to me. They are not out of this yet. They've no Europe, no distractions. Arsenal get caught up in the Champions League.
Everyone not out of the title race. Oh, stop.
No, 15 games to go. Hey. Newcastle United had a 12-point lead in 96 and they blew up. Arsenal 12 points clear.
Yeah, that's just put Kevin Keegan, God.
Arteta is, he's too busy on LinkedIn. He's going to get caught up.
I'm just happy to take
cards.
It game by game.
Mark my words and mark your cards.
I'm happy to take it game by game. To quote the Dubs in their pomp.
Oh, you take four. You take four.
You're Stephen Mahoney. Jim McGuinness in this show. You're turning into Jim McGuinness there, mate.
Stephen Mahoney, Mead and Loud pulling waves in Division 2 and Donegal starting as they mean to go on. And Killer McHugh, I think, maybe sums it up. Why did they change the rules regarding the end of the game with the hooter?
I think they can change that back again at the end of the league. Or
possibly. Yeah, we'll keep
it. Like the set plays. That's the reason behind it.
Yeah, well, I kind of liked it. But don't we ended up having in the Mead Derry game?
Good, like it was like.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't think that
just means you have unlimited time for an attack.
Yeah, maybe. But like Cliffy's score in the All Ireland final, that's such an iconic.
Yeah.
Thing, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd change it.
Any final thoughts from the opening weekend, from our time in Dingle, from Manchester United being back?
I think we covered absolutely everything.
We kind of did. We did an hour on a Sunday night.
And we did it. Tommy, we used to do these shows in year one, and with like only fucking 2 hours.
Yeah, but that's because
so long here, like.
That's because Tommy was fangirling yourself and Andy.
Do you know why? It's because Andy was as bad as you when it came to talking, and James knows how to snap it. Come in with a snappy little line.
You always know in these pods if we've watched the games or not. If we've actually watched the matches, then it's like it's a long show. And if we haven't, it's a 35-minute show.
Paddy, best of luck tomorrow. Hosting the GA Plus show on a Monday, so it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, Tommy, like, I'll be in your shoes tomorrow, seeing how you can move things.
What time is it on? Is it
a 4-hour show?
Is it live, like, or what? Sorry,
1 o'clock on YouTube, GA Plus, The View. A couple of good guests, Parker Horace, Soupy Campbell is coming on.
Lovely.
I think Paddy McBrady might be in to say a few words about Jim McGuinness. And you know, it'll be big on the hurling lads as well, so I'm going to do a bit of the hurling now.
I look forward to seeing that.
Do you get 3 points for a goal in hurling as well?
You do.
Yeah, their 2-pointer is different. It's a bit further out there, 2-pointer. It's further out. Make sure you know about that.
What's their hooter? Was there a hooter today then?
There's no cards in hurling either.
Okay.
No fouls.
Kenny
no
won. Cards. Who won it last year?
Crack on.
Shefflin.
Yo, you're talking to Owen Kelly. So, they won it last year.
Owen Kelly. Tip.
Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, thank you very much. We're back. The pod.
Thank you, Tommy.
We're into season 6, lads. So,
season is back. The season is back.
Thanks to everyone for tuning in, as always. And we will be back next Monday. Be good, boys.
Cheers, boys.
Bye, friends.